is Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.
Yes, 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 it is. It is Carlin on 98.7 ESPN with a game one a little, slightly, tiny, little bit over an hour away. ALDS, Yankees and the Rays, and you wouldn't want it any other way. 800-919-3776, 800-919-ESPN. It is your opportunity over that next hour plus to get as many of your calls, as many of your thoughts in, whatever you want on Twitter as well, at Chris Carlin. And I have to tell you, this is as excited as I've been for a playoff series in a long time, just based simply on the pure hatred between these two teams. They cannot stand one another. And while I don't necessarily expect it to bubble over, unless one of these games just got completely out of hand and somebody took matters into their own hands, I don't think that the energy level is going to be any less just because we're not going to have any punches thrown. I think what we're going to see is two teams that are going to be even extra amped up considering it's the division series. And that's exciting. And that's incredibly exciting. But I have to tell you, the Yankees, this matchup has me very concerned for them. Very concerned. And my ultimate concern starts tonight. With Gerrit Cole on the mound, you have to feel great normally, don't you? Of course you do. This is a guy that dominated the Rays last year in the postseason. Yet somehow, what he did in the three starts this year against Tampa is eating at me. Those numbers were not good. They were bad. And that works against him tonight. This is a team unlike any other in the last 15 to 20 years that has a mental edge on the New York Yankees that frankly has them spooked a little bit. And if they were to ever lose game one tonight with Gerrit Cole on the mound, as excited as I am for the series, they're in big, big trouble. Big trouble. And I don't mean to oversell it, but can you imagine the mental damage that would do to the Yankees in a situation like this? You have a team like the Rays who frankly just kicked their ass all season. 8 out of 10, the Yankees looked thoroughly intimidated when they played the Rays this year. Nobody does that to the Yankees. And this just wasn't about the bad stretch. Yet it began the bad stretch. That's precisely when it began, on that Friday night in Tampa back in early August. But you also realize that when the Yankees find themselves in this kind of a situation, it's unfamiliar territory. And it's not like they handled that kind of thing terribly well during the year. They let it spiral on them a little bit. So if the Rays come out of the gate swinging against Gerrit Cole and G-Man Choi continues to live inside number 45's Grande Cabeza and rips him as he has, big problems. Big problems. Now look, I know we all sat here last week and we were talking about Shane Bieber and how the Yankees come out and just, they dominated him in game one of the Indian series. This is different. This is very different. I know how good Shane Bieber was this season. He was phenomenal. He's going to be the Cy Young Award winner. You can't say enough good things about Bieber. But that doesn't matter when it comes to this team. The Yankees know that the Rays are not remotely afraid of them in any way. And in fact, they have played the role of the underdog brilliantly in that the Yankees are supposed to be the bullies. And this is the first time in a while that you've seen another team stand up to the Yankees over an extended period of time. And that's, listen, 10 games in a season, even though it's only a 60-game season, you know, that says something. That says we beat the daylights out of you when you win 8 of those games. The Yankees haven't had that happen. And it's almost like a bully when they get punched in the mouth. What's the old saying? When the bully gets that one punch, they're never the same. And the Yankees took quite a few punches against this team. And they also took quite a few punches against this team with this ace on the mound. Don't forget that. You know, he really had one good start against them. Really just one. In the three starts that he made this season, Gerrit Cole, in 16 and a third innings, allowed 20 hits, walked 7, and had a 4.95 ERA. Talk all you want about the fact that Cole found himself later in the year. This team played a role in that. And not only that, he had the one start that was 6 2/3, right? You look at the other two starts, this is a guy that they have forced into throwing over 100 pitches in each of his starts to an average of about 5 1/3. Guess what we just found out about the Yankees last week? That circle of trust, the trust tree in the nest, there's not a whole lot of room for people to join Aaron Boone in there. They kicked Ottavino out of the nest. They're going to have to get him back in there. Because if you're not getting Gerrit Cole through 6, you got a problem. You got a big problem. Britton's in the trust tree. Chad Green's in the trust tree. Chapman's in the trust tree. Who else is? Who else you want to hand that ball to? Count on him to get outs. That is a problem. So to me, this series, frankly, is all about tonight. And if the Rays beat Cole, the series is over. And you can give me all you want. Was it over when the Germans bombed Pearl Harbor? If the Rays beat Gerrit Cole, the Yankees will go quietly. I can't believe I'm saying that, but I believe it to be 100% true. I don't expect them to be able to come back from losing a start with the $324 million man on the mound. Because that just shows, once again, the Rays are not afraid. 800-919-3776, open lines, let's go. Get on board. Your predictions for the series. I'll give you my actual pick. I gave you a contingency right there. But I'll give you my actual pick as the night goes along, but I want to hear from you.
You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.
I feel good. I knew that I wouldn't. I feel good.
Carlin, 98.7 ESPN. 800-919-3776. 800-919-ESPN. Get to the calls right out of the gate. We will also get as many of your tweets in as we can. Lindsey Adler, who covers the Yankees for The Athletic, just tweeted at me, at Chris Carlin, saying Cole's numbers against the Rays were pretty good last year, weren't they? Against the Rays in the ALDS. They were. They were outstanding against them, and I hope that you get that kind of a performance tonight. But I think I'm going more off of more recent what has happened. And, you know, the Astros were a team that weren't intimidated by anybody. This is the first time I've really seen this with a Yankee team. So let's get to it, shall we? Anthony starts us off in Glen Cove tonight. Anthony, what's cooking?
Chris, fan of yours, but I couldn't disagree with you more, pal.
Go.
Yeah, it's come on. This is not, there's no, this is the major league. These guys are pros. Nobody's scared of anybody. You're putting up.
It's not scared. It's intimidated. It's not scared. It's intimidated. There is no question that there is a mental aspect of the game, and when a team frankly dominates you during the season, that can play a role in it.
Chris, let me ask you a question. Coming into the playoffs, the Yankees basically stumbled in. Fair?
This year?
Yes.
I guess you'd say that. I mean, they had 110 in a row. They clinched the spot. They didn't play as well as you wanted, but it wasn't like it was in 2000.
Chris, they cut through the Cleveland Indians like a hot knife through butter, buddy.
They did in game one. In game two, they had to come back a couple of times. I mean, let's call it what it was. They were fortunate to win game two. Let's be fair, Anthony. Let's be fair. They were fortunate to win game two.
You know, luck is what you make of it. I'll say this. The major leagues better hope that Stanton and Judge, well, Judge didn't really hit too well, but that home run was huge.
Mm-hmm.
Was big.
He didn't do a whole lot else. And you're right, it was big. And thanks for the call, Anthony. He didn't do a whole lot else, and he hasn't done a damn thing against Blake Snell. Not a damn thing. Mike in Queens next. Mike, what's up?
Hey, Chris, how are you?
I'm
great. I agree
with
you 100%. I'm a longtime Yankees fan, and if you're putting up your ace tonight and he can't win the game for you, then the series, the advantage goes to the Rays. And one quick point. Who's going to win their first game, the Jets or the Giants?
Oh, God. I mean, do I have to pick?
Yeah.
Really? I mean,
so bad.
It's awful. I mean, I just out of who is genuinely worse, I would say that the Giants would win their game first. I think the Jets are historically bad. Historically bad. Now the Giants, and I can't believe this, the Giants are basically a game and a half out of first place because the NFC East is so bad.
Yeah,
but are you going to tell me the Giants can't win in Dallas next week? I mean, the Cowboys stink.
The Giants could win.
They could win in Dallas next week. And you got to admit, if the Giants win in Dallas, you all of a sudden you're going to feel a whole lot better. I mean, that's just not just winning a game. That is going down and embarrassing a team that is playing god-awful football right now.
I agree with you. But, yeah, getting back to the Yankees, I do think you're right. If Cole cannot win tonight, it's not just the advantage goes to Tampa. I think the Yankees' morale might drop a little, too.
Well, that's my issue here, Mike, and thanks for the call. I think this is a mental edge situation that the Rays hold. And it truly is fascinating. When do you see this happen with the New York Yankees? When do you see this happen? Like, never. Never. It's rare, and I could probably think of one or two over the last 20 years, right? But it's rare that you would honestly think of a team during that stretch that really had their number. Not many. I mean, I don't even have one that immediately comes to mind, to tell you the truth. But the way the Rays played them this year and the anger that exists between the two teams, the tensions that exist, boy, it just adds to it. It really does. I hope for the Yankees' sake that they are able to manifest that outside of just, you know, being a team that lets the emotions get the better of them in the wrong moment. I don't think that will happen. Spike in Jersey next. Spike, what's up, bud?
Good to hear, my friend. So what's your choice tonight? 1, 2, 3. You going Yankee game first and then...
Yeah.
Okay, that's good. So that's
have to.
You got to, yeah. Listen, here's what I see. You paid a lot of money. You got your guy on the mound. His stats. We could talk all day about it. And if the umpire is fair, which I'm hoping for, don't have that. What's that bad umpire? Angel?
Yeah, he's in the other. He's in the National League. I don't know how Angel Hernandez is in the Division Series.
Yeah,
that's freaking embarrassing.
Yeah, you should get a job like that. Right.
I hate to put it this way. Angel Hernandez keeps getting a lot of these assignments and hasn't gotten fired yet because he's suing Major League Baseball. Listen, far be it from me, and I don't know all of the specifics, okay? Far be it from me to ever cast aspersions on anybody that feels discriminated against. Let's take all race, creed, anything out of it. One thing America, which cannot agree on anything, can agree on today is that Angel Hernandez sucks.
Yeah, he's terrible. When he's behind the plate, I have no clue what's a ball and a strike. And I like baseball a lot, and I know you love baseball. The pitch goes over. You know, but I always look at the check swing, and the guy looks down, the catcher looks down, and the ump's up first or third, they go safer out. I have no clue what the ball is. Might as well swing when he's up there. So I guess it's an advantage to the pitcher. But
I guarantee you this. If he's got a flight to catch, I would want to know what his travel plans are. Because if he's got a flight to catch, he will absolutely have the widest strike zone possible.
I heard that story, and I know it's credibility and some sources checked on that. It just baffles me. So I'll say this. You got the right guy. You paid for him. He produced last game. I will be very surprised. First guy could hit the first pitch out of the ballpark, and he could get 20 in a row out. Now, this guy's got the stuff. He's got the goods. I was a little perplexed, and I understand Boone making the move, or Cashman told him. Sanchez has ridiculously good numbers against Snell. But it's tough to play him and sit Stanton. This is a tough game, but boy.
Here's the thing, and I'm going to get more into this in a little bit. There are actually arguments on either side, and I'm with you on that. I probably would have played Sanchez.
Where?
And I can't believe I'm saying that, but and we'll get into that in a little bit. And thanks for the call, as always, Spike. But I think that the thing with Stanton is I would not have caught Sanchez. And that's the other thing that's very interesting here with Cole. I would have DH Sanchez over Stanton. But Sanchez was the one behind the plate for all three of those other Cole starts against the Rays. So I wonder how much of a factor that would play. So a lot of people just don't understand what we're talking about here when we're talking about the idea that the series is over if there's one game. My thought behind that is just simply this. They have been so intimidated by this team this season and beaten so roundly by this team this season that if your best pitcher goes out and loses, this is not a game that you get. That is beyond demoralizing for a team. And I honestly think that could kill them in this series. I think if they lose tonight, I think it's over. Richard in Manhattan. Hello, Richard.
Hi, Chris.
Hi, Richard.
The Rays are pitching Snell.
Mm-hmm.
Glasnow,
yep.
And Martin.
Mm-hmm.
1, 2, 3.
Yep.
The Yankees are pitching Cole. I don't know.
Garcia.
I don't know.
No. They announced today they're pitching Davey Garcia in game 2.
Oh, okay.
And then Tanaka in game 3.
He's got a lot of pressure on him, this guy, Cole. You know, if the Yankees lose, if they lose tonight, wow. And if they lose the series, after getting maybe not the best pitcher in baseball, but certainly the most expensive player in baseball. They'll be in bad, bad, bad stead. Very bad. I'm looking forward to the series only because it does bring back memories of the Yankees and Kansas City Royals in the late 70s, early 80s. George Brett,
mm-hmm.
Freddie Partek, Amos Otis. Chris, can I get a quick question on the Giant game yesterday? Do you mind a quick one for you?
Go ahead, Richard. Right. Go ahead.
You watched the game.
I did.
2 minutes, 40 seconds left to go in the game.
Mm-hmm.
Giants have the ball. They're down 17-9. Field goal kicker is 3-for-3. Defense is playing good. 2 minutes, 50 seconds left. Giants have all three timeouts and the two-minute warning. 4th and 11 at the 27-yard line. They haven't scored a touchdown all game. All game they haven't scored a touchdown. 3 field goal kickers. Okay. 4th and 11. You kick the field goal there, you're down 17-12. Kick the ball off and stop them, which they did. They stopped them after they didn't get the first down. So you kick off, and now you're down 17-12. You get the ball back. If you score the touchdown, you win the game. Now, here's my reasoning. At 17-9, even if you score the touchdown, you get the first down, which doesn't mean even on 4th and 11 you get the first down at the 27, you're going to score the touchdown. But even if you do, you got to stop them and get the two-point conversion, stop them, then score again to win the game. So why don't you grab the field goal now? Get that out of the way. Make it 17-12. Then you kick off and stop them, which you do. Then you go for the win with the touchdown if you can, and that's it.
Richard?
I don't see how you go for it on 4th and 11. I spoke to Carl Banks and Bob Papa. They disagreed with me. I think they're giant homers. I know the old coaches, Parcells, Tom Coughlin. I'll go back to Ali Sherman. They would not have gone for it on 4th and 11 at the 27th.
But you're talking about Ali Sherman. That's where you lose me here, okay? Hey, Richard, I agree with you.
Oh, okay.
I would have kicked the field goal, too, and thanks for the call, because they had the two-minute warning and they had the timeouts, and they had done an outstanding job for the most part all day, other than the Cooper Kupp 55-yard play. They had done a pretty darn good job against the Rams' offense. They really had. And if your defense is playing that well, I would absolutely have put the points on the board and give myself a chance, if I come up with a stop, to go win the game with a touchdown. And at that juncture, you're 0-3. You know, you're headed for 0-4. Put the points on the board. It's at the 31-yard line. It's a 48-yard field goal. Obviously not a chip shot, but still. Still, if he's your guy, then he should be able to make that kick.
You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.
I'll tell you what, you guys, I'm taking some damn receipts, and I'll tell you in a few minutes. You're out of your freaking minds, but we'll get to that. It's Carlin, 98.7 ESPN, 800-919-3776. Open lines. Let's hit them in just moments. I do want to point out, as we look at the Yankee lineup tonight, that I am very surprised at one thing. Here is the lineup. DJ LeMahieu leading off at second, Judge in right, Hicks in center, Voit at first, Stanton DHing, Urshela at third, Torres at short, Clint Frazier in left, Higashioka catching for Cole. I am surprised that Gary Sanchez is not DHing tonight. Why? Because he is 6-for-20 lifetime against Blake Snell with 5 home runs. Now, if you want to put that on the flip side with Stanton, who has not been good against Snell, just 2-for-11 lifetime, he does have 1 home run, but Stanton has apparently always hit well at Petco Park, has 8 career bombs at Petco Park. So, I mean, you want to argue that? Okay, that's fine. Me, I'd go more around the argument that the pitcher is the guy I need to be more concerned about as opposed to the ballpark. So I would absolutely, in this instance, play Gary Sanchez with the better numbers against the pitcher. That makes more sense to me. Now, as far as Frazier in left field, Aaron Boone was asked about that decision before the game. Did he think about playing Gardner instead of Frazier?
Not a lot. With the lefty, you know, Clint's, you know, with his play earned in there. You know, I obviously deliberated on it quite a bit before the Cleveland series. You know, as I said before the Cleveland series, I think both guys are going to play a huge role for us, and I don't think that's changed.
Yeah, I would not have played Gardner tonight against the lefty. I that's not a way I would have gone, and I'm going to need Frazier here at some point, so I may as well get him involved, especially when he didn't play well down the stretch. Now, just the fact that I am suggesting they play Gary Sanchez would make you think that I had been drinking before the show. I am not drunk, as it turns out, for once. Sanchez, to me, though, I want to get him going, and how better to do it than against somebody that he has traditionally hit very well against? Why, if I'm not going to play him in that situation, just from a hitting standpoint, I mean, that doesn't give me a ton of faith. And if I were Sanchez, that would really bum me out. I've owned this guy. I'm looking at Stanton's numbers, and they're pedestrian at best. At best. And that's being kind. The other thing that was surprising today, too, is that it was suggested by Aaron Boone that he would go with Davey Garcia.
Yeah, Davey Garcia will pitch tomorrow. You know, deliberated on that obviously a lot over the last several days, which means Masa will now go in game three. So just felt like slotting Davey in between Cole and Masa was the way we wanted to go.
I like it. I like it a lot. You could, and I'll give Sweeney credit for this. Sweeney Murdy asked the question, and he's, you know, just a great dude. Good friend. You could see a situation where Garcia goes out there and pitches, you know, maybe three innings, and he's kind of more of an opener, and you see Hap actually go and pitch more for the Yankees later in that game. Interesting thought. You're going to need Hap for game four, potentially. So I guess it kind of depends on how things are playing out. And if you feel like you need to put as many hands on deck for game two as you can. Because if you do that and then you have Tanaka in game three, well, at the very least, you feel good. Let's say you lost game one. Let's say you lost game one. Then in game two, if you're in trouble and you lose game two, you have one of your best postseason pitchers of all time out there to avoid elimination and to try to stabilize the situation. Game two's not an elimination game. And that's why it makes more sense for Garcia to pitch in that spot as opposed to seeing Tanaka in game two. And when it's a five-game series in five consecutive days, when you'd actually have Cole on short rest if he's going to pitch in game five, then I don't have any issue with that whatsoever. I think it's a great idea on the part of the manager. Let's hit Andrew in Rockland County next. Andrew, what's going on?
How's it going, Chris?
Oh, it's going.
So, look, I know we're talking about how Gerrit Cole needs to come out and have a great performance tonight to get the Yankees a W, but I mean, let's face it. We could say that about any series that the Yankees are going to be in. They, you know, we were saying that when they face Cleveland, God willing, they move on. We'll be saying it in the subsequent series because they're just not that deep when it comes to starting pitching. We need him to go out and win that first game.
Yes and no. Yes, you're 100% right. He is that important, and that's why they went out to get him. But no, because this is a team that has spooked them this year. It is. You know, that when you lose 8 out of 10 to a team and you get your ass kicked as much as you did by them, that absolutely sticks around in your old melon. And if you have your best pitcher out there and you lose game one to them, I think you're toast.
yeah, hopefully the lineup can just keep hitting like they were hitting against Cleveland.
Yeah, listen, they obviously scored a ton of runs there. Thanks, Andrew, for the call. It's that same age-old question. Can the really good hitting hit the really good pitching? We did see it against Cleveland. I thought that Carrasco had a quick hook from Sandy Alomar in game two of that series. But Blake Snell, you know, Glasnow, these guys are tremendous. And Charlie Morton, it may be an opener situation in a game four if they actually needed it. You're going to have to go out there and pound on some really good pitching to have a chance. That's what they're built to do. They did it in two games last week. Let's see if it can happen this year. Carlin, 800-919-3776. There are aspects of you guys that I have had enough with. Honestly, there are. And I'm going to let you have it next. You're going to get it when we come back. Because it's time for me to take some receipts. And I'm not messing around because, look, there are times, yeah, that you'd look at a take of mine and say, you're an idiot. All right, that's fine. But the responses I just got to this cold take are off the charts. And I'm putting you all on call right now.
You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.
I tell you what, you guys, you're something. You know, I put the tweet up regarding Gerrit Cole and how if the Yankees lose tonight, they are dead. And you understand the rationale behind it. Here's the exact tweet. The Rays have been living rent-free in the Yankees' heads all season long. It's not often a team intimidates the Yankees, but the Rays have. Cole in three starts against the Rays this year, 16 and a third innings, 20 hits, 7 walks, 4.95 ERA. If the Yankees lose tonight, the series is over. Here's some of the responses I got. Now you can take your little hashtag old takes exposed and shove it you know where, all right? Vince wants them to bookmark that. You got it, Vince. Mikey B, stop. You're being too dramatic. Lou Ferrara, idiotic take. Greg Babbitt, how is the series over after one game's results? John Killian, all those years with Mike and a Mad Dog, and you tweet this. Greg Domino, wouldn't be October baseball without bad takes. Frisky Frisch, you're wrong. You guys are amazing. Just how confident you are sometimes, and you get blinded by your little pinstripe-colored glasses. Stop it. Understand what the situation is. You know that the Rays have kicked your butts all season. And you know if they go out there and beat on Gerrit Cole tonight, you are not going to slip a freaking wink. Because you know you're in big trouble. Big trouble. This is not about bias one way or another. This is how you see it. And when you realize that Cole is as important to the Yankees as he is, if he goes out there and pitches like he did for the most part against the Rays this season, they're in trouble. They're in trouble. They're in big trouble. And every one of these tweets is coming back. They will be back the second the series is over at that point. Because I will have been right, and you will have looked stupid, and you will have looked stupid for calling me stupid. Pay attention. Take off your little jersey and understand the situation. You have got a big, big problem if you lose tonight. That is just fact. Chris is in Throg's Neck. He's next, 98.7 ESPN. Hello, Chris.
It is absolutely crucial that the Yankees get a win tonight with Gerrit Cole in the mound.
Of course it is!
Yeah, it's crucial. It is crucial. I mean, there is no Yankee fan that believes otherwise. But the good
news... Well, no, apparently there are. Apparently there are, and I just read the tweets of about 7 of them, and there are about 50 more.
Yeah, but you can't put too much stock into Twitter, Chris. I mean...
I understand. My point is simply this. If you're a Yankee fan and think you can lose game one and win this series, you're drunk. You're high. I mean, honestly, you're on the Acapulco Gold at that point. You really are.
Yeah, the good news for the Yankees is that Cole has been a different pitcher with Higashioka behind the plate. He doesn't even have an ERA of 2. His ERA is 1.32 since Higashioka.
Yeah, he's been fantastic with him. He's been absolutely fantastic. And as I said earlier, Sanchez was behind the plate for those other 3 starts.
This is in 34 frames. Now, the bad news for the Yankees is Snell is coming off of a 5-inning no-hitter in his last start. And he is 1-0 versus the Yankees, I believe, this season. And he struck out 8 over 8 innings in his last appearance. Now, regarding Sanchez, Chris, he's 19 for his last 106 postseason.
I know that.
With Stanton, no question about it. I'm gonna put Stanton in that lineup. Sanchez he's good. He's a great catcher. He's a great athlete. He's whatever the Yankee fans are expecting from him moving forward. He's gonna be all of that. But I'm going with Stanton behind the plate tonight. I don't think Sanchez has done enough to merit me going with him over Stanton.
Yeah, but my problem is that when they cite the numbers as often as they do. And they, you know, they only use them when it's convenient. And you ignore the numbers here where the guy's got 5 home runs and 20 at-bats against a pitcher. And you're not going to run him out there? I mean, to me, that's just ridiculous.
Here's another concern, Chris, really quickly. Glasnow has been pretty filthy against the Bombers. And,
oh, yeah, absolutely. That's another big reason why they're in big, big trouble if they lose tonight.
1-1 with a 3.77 ERA, 22 Ks in 14 in the third frames, Chris. So the Yankees have to win tonight, no question about it.
Chris, appreciate the call. And look, it's not just about the idea that they have to win tonight. It's more about why they have to win tonight, the psyche and what lies ahead. And what lies ahead is a pretty damn good pitcher. So all of that taken into account, that's why I feel the way I do about it. Now, having said all that, let's get to the point. You've got Snell tonight, who, you know, the Yankees have had some success against before. You've got Davey Garcia going for the Yankees tomorrow. You've got Tanaka in game 3. You've got Glasnow and then Charlie Morton. I think the actual pitching matchups favor the Rays overall, except for tonight, obviously. But I would say that the Yankees will win this series in 4 games. I do think they will win tonight. Now, my only caveat here is that if the Yankees lose tonight, it's over. I think they win tonight behind Snell. The Rays lineup, very quickly. Yandy Diaz DH'ing, Brandon Lau at 2nd, Arozarena in left field, G-Man Choi, who has killed Cole, as we know, at first base, Manuel Margot in right, Joey Wendell at 3rd, Willie Adames at short, Kevin Kiermaier at center, Mike Zunino catching for Snell. I honestly think that as excited as I am for this series, the true hatred that exists between these teams is going to make it a very, very good series. If I were the Yankees, a game like tonight, I'm not outwardly saying it, but I know in the back of my head what I'm thinking. With that guy on the mound, for us, we had better cash in. We had better cash in. I think they will. We know what he's been about in his postseason history, and we have to give him the benefit of the doubt because he's earned it. And he earned it last week with as well as he pitched. My only fear is that he gives up the long ball with a couple of men on. As long as there's solo home runs, and I'm counting on at least one of them tonight, as long as they're solo, that's fine. If he gives them up with men on, and this is kind of an obvious statement, but very much a true one, that's where you've got some major problems. I will go with the Yankees in four. But once again, if they lose tonight, I'm jumping ship and getting on a lifeboat. Because they got no chance after that. No chance whatsoever. Okay, game four, or rather game one, is coming up in just moments. Right here, first pitch, just a few moments away on 98.7 ESPN. Great job tonight, Joel Pollack. Great job tonight by the backbone of the show, Gisele Hernandez. With tomorrow's 8 o'clock start, we'll have another hour pregame tomorrow. No postgame tonight. A little too late, but we will have Savages in the Box first thing tomorrow morning. Enjoy it. Yankees, Rays next, baby. Carlin out.